One of our regular commentators, linguist Jeff Nunberg, is working outside of Paris this year. From time to time, he'll be sending back pieces about how he sees his cross-cultural adventure.
I arrived in Paris, and I did what any tourist will. I took my daughter Sophie to Disneyland. Or, more accurately, to Euro Disney, the new park they've built in Marne-la-Vallée, about 25 miles east of the city. The Disney people were obviously reluctant to tamper with success. The park itself is largely a clone of the parks in Anaheim and Orlando. I had the feeling that an English tourist must when he runs into London Bridge in the middle of the Arizona desert. It seemed a proven formula, so it came as a surprise to just about everyone that the new park hasn't been a raging success. The Europeans, and particularly the French, have been staying away in droves. The European affiliate of Disney that built the park will lose around $300 million this year, and they've just announced 1,000 layoffs. There are a lot of reasons why the formula hasn't worked here. One is that the park is awfully expensive. For our little family of three, it was $160 just to walk in the gate, and this in a part of the world with double-digit unemployment. Then, too, the northern European climate can be a little brisk for this sort of outing. But as far as a lot of the French journalists and intellectuals are concerned, the park's difficulties have little to do with either economics or meteorology. They opposed the project from the outset on the grounds that it would be a beachhead for the further Americanization of French culture, and now they see a vindication in the fact that the French haven't much taken to it. They point with satisfaction to the relative success of a much more modest and conventional amusement park in the Paris region that's based on the popular French cartoon characters Asterix and Obelix, a sort of Mickey and Goofy pair of warriors from ancient Gaul. If you ask me, though, this is all a crock of Ratatouille. In fact, the French indifference to the Euro Disney Park has nothing to do with its being too American. Quite the contrary. When you visit it, you come to realize how much the original Anaheim Disneyland was based on a vision of Europe, the Magic Kingdom dominated by a medieval castle, populated by princes and princesses, and divided into tiny, crowded lands, each with its distinctive food and dress. Walt Disney's genius was to give us Europe without any of the ordinary inconveniences, tidy, safe, thoroughly English-speaking, with the bathrooms clearly marked. Even Mickey is Europeanized here. In the cartoons, he's a spunky little Republican character. But in the parks, he's transformed into something imperial, even papal, a silent figure escorted onto a platform as a line of roped-off children wait impatiently to be led up for a ceremonial laying on of gloves. What Disneyland is meant to show, in fact, is what we Americans could have made of Europe if only we'd had the opportunity. In its own way, it's a more pervasively coercive state than anything the Europeans have ever managed to put together. But it's an even-handed, friendly sort of coercion, monitored by smiling folks in boaters and cowboy hats. Just before the Euro Disney Park opened, the French press made a flap when somebody leaked a dress code that stipulated that all employees were expected to wear clean underwear. But of course, the Disney people were just trying to make sure that the legions who ran the park would be made up of nice, clean kids. You can't be too careful. Still, you can see how European visitors might not quite get the point of all this. They come to Marne-la-Vallée looking for an American amusement park. They're not on a transformative pilgrimage. So all that business about castles and kingdoms tends to go right by them. And they get a little testy waiting in line for the park's few rides, particularly since language differences tend to discourage the kind of camaraderie that develops among the people shuffling along in the lines in Anaheim or Orlando. What happens here is that the line seems to become an animal with all the worst features of its constituent parts. Everybody gets overbearing like the Germans, pushy like the Italians, dyspeptic like the French. They may or may not be ready for their own Europe, but it's for sure they're not ready for ours. Oh, and Sophie, she loved it to bits.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University.